were huddled up in this upper room and they were praying. And they were praying into what God had said. So they were reading the word. They had their minds around what the purposes of God was, the mission of God was in Jesus Christ. They had heard what Jesus said about, you know, I want you guys to exercise that same mission, both in Jerusalem, to Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And so they have that. They're thinking about mulling that over. And they're praying about this whole thing, lifting up to God the things that he's been talking about. Now, a lot of us, when we think about prayer, and prayer in the context of the authority that we've been given, we think prayer is begging God for something, you know, that we want him to do. But prayer isn't that. Prayer is God's way of aligning us and our will toward what he wants to do, right? John Wimber used to tell this story, the first time that he experienced the healing, and I shared a little bit of this last week. But, you know, they had prayed for healing for, you know, about 8-9 months. They hadn't seen a single healing, and God kept telling them, you have to pray for people to get healed, and he just had enough. He was done with it. He said, I'm not going to do this. It's not fair, God. I'm done. And so what happened was, in that context, he got called one morning to go over after one of the worst nights they'd had in terms of a service praying for healing. He got called to go over to a neighbor's house, one of the folks in his congregation. The wife was sick, and he walks in there, and he sees that she's really sick. So he sort of mumbles some sort of prayer, God heal her, and then turns around and starts telling the husband all the reasons why God doesn't actually heal. And as he's doing that, he noticed that the husband is sort of looking over his shoulder, not really listening to what he's saying, not paying attention. So he turns around to look, and there's the wife out of bed. She's combed her hair. She's made the bed. You know, she says, do you want a cup of coffee? And he's, what happened to you? And she says, well, you prayed for me. I'm healed. And he starts thinking, would you like to stay and have a cup of coffee? No, I got to get out of here. I got to think about this, right? So he goes out, and it was on the return from that first healing that he saw sort of the big picture that we share about, where, you know, he had this vision of, you know, a honeycomb in the clouds, and the honeycomb was dripping. And there were some people, you know, that the honey was dripping on that were just going, yuck, 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 this is sticky, yuck, yuck. And there were some people that were receiving the honey dropping with joy and sharing it with one another and those kinds of things. And what the Lord said to John in the midst of that was, you know, when you pray for healing, when you ask for these things and it doesn't happen, he says, the problem is not on my end. As you can see, John, there's plenty for everybody. And he says, you know, John says, wait a minute, you know, how come... you know, we've prayed and prayed and prayed, and we didn't see these healings. And the Lord said to him, it's how you're praying. You know, the prayers just sort of dribble off of your beard, you know, sort of like, you know, God, please heal them. You know, if you ever had a worthy servant, if there was ever a worthy servant anywhere, it's here. You know, please heal this person. God, if you've ever done anything anytime, you know, please come now and heal this. You know, and we get into the mode of praying like this, instead of praying in the authority that God has already given us, right? It's not a power thing, it's an authority thing. So these guys are here, they're praying to the Lord, they're aligned to what the Lord wants to do. And so the two things that I want you to see in this prayer, is that we keep our head in the clouds through relationship with the Holy Spirit, with the Father, and we keep our feet on the ground through obedience. So they're obeying the Lord, what the Lord has told them, by being in Jerusalem and applying their minds and their hearts to these things. But it's through relationship with the Holy Spirit that we get the opportunity to operate in his authority. If we don't have that relationship, how are we going to know what the mission is that he's calling us to? And without the obedience, hearing the Holy Spirit's prompting in the moment and being willing to go to that grocery store cashier and saying, you know, I know it sounds funny, but sometimes I hear from God, does this make any sense to you? Right? Being able to risk in that moment and being able to, you know, obey in that moment, those are the two prerequisites for being able to stand in that authority of God and see the power of God manifest in our presence. Does that make sense? So both the relationship and the obedience are necessary. Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am He. I am the Son of God. I am the Messiah. You will know that these things I do are not by my own authority, but I only say what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me, the Father, is with me, and I always do what's pleasing to Him. He's not left me alone or abandoned me. And while Jesus was saying these things, many people believed in Him. Everything in my heart is to please the Father. And I don't do things on my own initiative. I don't take my own authority. Everything that I do, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only speak what I hear the Father saying. It's on His authority that I do these things, not on my own. Relationship is critical. And then in the context of that relationship, being able to be obedient and risk to what He's saying. Okay, the last bit of text is this, verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up amongst the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers, the Scripture had to be fulfilled what the Holy Spirit spoke long ago." There we see the Holy Spirit interpreting of Scripture again. "Through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in our ministry. With the reward he got for his wickedness, Judas bought a field, and there he fell headlong with his body burst open and all his intestines spilled out." Ooh, fun. "Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, and so they called that field in their language Akeldama, which is the field of blood." And Peter was using this. This is sort of an insert that was put in to explain how the Holy Spirit had revealed to Peter that this was a thing of prophecy, right? In the book of Psalms, said, "May his place be deserted, may there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place in leadership." So there's actually a couple of scriptures in the Old Testament where it talks about, you know, 30 pieces of silver being exchanged, and then, you know, those 30 pieces being thrown to the potter, and the field being called a field of blood. And so what ended up happening is the Pharisees actually bought the field, and they used it to bury foreigners, but they bought it with that 30 pieces of silver that Judas cast back at them. And so there's a whole context here that we don't have time for this morning. But the point is, through the Holy Spirit's discernment, Peter was reading those scriptures and understood that what happened to Judas was a fulfillment of what God had proclaimed long time ago through his inspiration of his prophet. And the point is that there was a line there that said, "May another take his place of leadership." And so Peter's stepping out in obedience, right, to what he's reading in the scripture to say, "Guess what, guys? We need to replace Judas because that's what's in the scripture." And so he says, "Therefore, it's necessary to choose one of the men who has been with us the whole time. The Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time that Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." So there's kind of the criteria, if you will, for apostolic, level, if you will, that they're using. So they proposed two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two men you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs." Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, and so he was added to the 11 apostles. And a couple things to notice here. There's both a feet on the ground and a head in the clouds component to this. First of all, they chose a couple of men. Second of all, they prayed and asked the Holy Spirit to direct them. And then they moved forward in what would have been culturally, something that would be very understandable in their day, casting lots. Right, so what I'm not saying here is go to Las Vegas and say, "Holy Spirit, sevens," right? That's not what we're saying, just to make that clear. But what we are saying is, you know, casting lots in the Jewish culture would have been something very, very understandable. And so what they did was they started in prayer and then they moved out in the circumstances that were before them, trusting that the Holy Spirit would hear and honor their prayer. So the point is, the way that we keep our head in the clouds is discernment through prayer. And the way that we keep our head on the ground is discernment through circumstances. Discernment in both cases. Okay? Now, I don't have time to go on to into a major application here in terms of how important it is to exercise discernment when we get into the things of the Spirit. All right? You remember that John and James, who are some of my favorite disciples because Jesus called them the sons of thunder, right? There was a reason he called them the sons of thunder, and it was because he had just empowered them with authority for ministry, and they had gone out two by two, and they had seen demons cast out, and they'd seen healings and stuff like that, and they came back and reported to Jesus everything that had gone on, and then they went into the next town, and the next town rejected them flatly, even Jesus. And so, drunk with this power and authority, John and James say, "Jesus, do you want us to call down fire from heaven on these guys?" And what did Jesus say? His response was very telling. He said, "You don't know what spirit you're of." Okay? So, even when we're in the midst of operating in the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit, we have to be careful to recenter ourselves back through prayer and through the Scripture to what God's doing in our present, okay? We need to make sure that that relationship is there, that we're standing under the umbrella of relationship with the Father, and that we are operating right out of His authority and not trying to flip into operating out of our own power. And we do that discernment through prayer and through discerning the circumstances. And here's a great example that Paul writes in Colossians of how this works. "Be assured that from the first day we heard of you, we haven't stopped praying for you, asking God to give you wise minds and spirits attuned to His will, and so acquire a thorough understanding of the ways in which God works." That's what we want to be about, guys. So, if you'd stand with me, what I'd like to do is just ask the Holy Spirit to come. I'd like to invite the prayer team forward. And for those of you guys who, you know, there may be a couple of folks in our group today. There may be some that want an experience of the Holy Spirit. And maybe you want to, for the first time, to feel the Lord's presence and to have Him touch you. Maybe there are those that, would like a passion for God's Word. Or maybe you want a passion for prayer. Or maybe even just a spirit of discernment about these things. Maybe you just want to grow in relationship with the Holy Spirit to be able to understand what it means to walk in that authority. And so what we want to be able to do is to pray for all of these things this morning. And as always, we want to be able to pray for physical healing, for emotional healing, for God to touch us and bring us into that kingdom life of shalom in a number of ways. Looks like we might have a wounded healer we want to start praying for this morning. But we want to be able to start, to just go the next level with God in both power and authority. I would just invite you to come down for prayer this morning. So, and just remember again, for those of us, we can get really frustrated because we want some kind of an ecstatic experience and it doesn't come. There's this tendency to feel like, there's two levels of Christians. And one of the things that I hope you're getting out of today is that we don't believe that. We believe that we get the Holy Spirit at conversion and that we as Christians leak and that there are many fillings that go on over time, and those fillings come in a number of ways. Ecstatic experiences are not the be-all, end-all of what it means to be, a Spirit-filled Christian. Being a Spirit-filled Christian is evidenced in character. It's evidenced, it comes through reading the Scripture. It comes through prayer. It comes through all of these ways. It comes through ministry opportunity. The Holy Spirit meets us in all of these things. And again, we want the full package of the ways in which the Holy Spirit works in our life. So, Father, we just ask You to come. I ask You, Father, that You would just continue to draw us into all of the ways in which You want to work within us here at the Vineyard Church in Conroe. Father, I pray for deeper passion for Your Word. I pray, Father, that as your Holy Spirit would come and illuminate us, Father, the same Spirit that actually inspired the writing of Scripture in the beginning, that, Father, you would come and verses would begin to leap off the page. Father, I pray for just a new sense, a deeper sense of relationship with you as we come to you in prayer, Father, that it's not just us lifting up all of the issues and problems that we have in our lives, but Father, that we can begin to hear your voice and discern what it is you're doing within us and what you're calling us to, Father, and that we can discern your voice in the midst of all of the noise, even in the midst of the grocery store, or Father, in the midst of church where you're calling us to come and pray or you want to do something, Father, that you would bring us into the level of obedience to be willing to risk, Father, and to be able to step out in that moment. Father, I pray you would deepen us in all of these ways. And Father, we do ask for experiences of you that would deepen our relationship with you, Father, and bring us into looking more like the image of your Son in character, Father, and in ministry. And so, Father, again, all these things we ask for your presence, for your Spirit, and for your rule and reign in our lives. And we lift you up, we glorify you today. And I bless you now in the name of Jesus, to walk in that depth of relationship with the Holy Spirit and with the Lord, and to be able to sense his presence throughout your days and your life over the next week. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.